Is this on?
No.
So I just yell. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Okay.
That'd be good.
Thank you all for coming this afternoon. I'm Ann Kenny, the Carl A. Kroc University librarian, and I'm very pleased that the library has been able to join with the French Studies program and the Cornell Law School to co-sponsor today's presentation by Patrick Weil. I'd also particularly like to acknowledge Claire Germain and Laurent Farry's role in helping to bring this about, so thank you both very much. Patrick Weil was a visiting professor of law and Robina Foundation International Fellow at the Yale Law School in the fall of 2009, and director of the Center for the Study of Immigration, Integration, and Citizenship Policies at the University of Paris at Sorbonne. Professor Weil's work focuses on comparative immigration, citizenship, secularization, and integration of law and policy. He has worked extensively with the French government, including participation in a 2003 French Presidential Commission on Secularism, and on the preparation of a report on immigration and nationality policy reform in 1997, which led to the implementation of new immigration laws adopted the following year. Dr. Weil holds an appointment as Senior Research Fellow at the French National Research Center in Paris, and more germane to this afternoon's topic, he is the co-founder and president of pardon the French accent, or the American accent of French, the Bibliothèque Sans Frontières, the French affiliate of Library Without Borders. He joins us today to discuss the impact of the really devastating earthquake that in Haiti a little over a month ago, and particularly its impact on cultural and educational structures. The title of his talk is How Can We Help Haiti's Libraries? He's going to speak for 10, 15 minutes or so, and then we're going to open the floor up for discussion and comments. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Weil.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you, Claire. And thank you, Laurent. And thank you, Mabel, for having organized my invitation. And of course, when we organized it, we never thought we would have to talk about what we are going to talk about today. Because I have created this NGO 3 years ago, because I was, as working on immigration, I've traveled across African country and always was shocked by the fact that sometimes we are giving money to build a university, sometimes professors are hired there, and the students don't have any books, for example. The same for schools. You build the buildings, you hire the professor, and they don't have books. And here in North America or in Europe, we have too many books. And especially when you love books like I do, you buy books and you don't know what to do when you have too many books at home, and you never want to throw them in a garbage can, but you would like them to be useful somewhere. And I try to convince people, the mayor of Paris, for example, to launch something for the citizens of Paris. They were not interested. So I decided to launch my own, to try myself to do something. And with a young student, graduate student who has become the director of this organization, we have launched something that is developing incredibly every year, because we based our purpose is to fulfill the will of people with whom we work. Many times in the previous years, when American or European were sending books, it was just sending the books we don't want anymore. and these books go there and they are not useful. And so then there are complaints that they are going on the black market, that 70 to 80% of the books that were sent to Africa are on the black market. Because they are not the books people need and people want. So we have decided that we would not send any books that were not requested by the people with whom we work. So our policy is to have lists sent by them or proposed by us. They choose and we provide the books. Only the books they want. So we have many projects in Cameroon, in Niger, in Mali. Now in Rwanda, we are going to provide the books for the first public library of Kigali, 60% in English, 40% in French. But the largest program was and will be in Haiti. I have visited Haiti for a 10-day trip January 2009, and from then we started a cooperation with all local institutions, with the UN mission, with the French embassy, and with the Soros Foundation that has been very active in the development of local libraries. What is extraordinary in Haiti is that it's one of the poorest countries of the world, but there is a love, a sacralization of books. People love books. They are not able to buy books because one book has a value of 1 month of salary for many of them. But if you look at the institution there, they exist. They are incredible people ready to work if we can provide them the reading material they are waiting for. And so we built a program, first of all, to develop 200 high school libraries with the Ministry of Culture, with the UN mission to provide books for the prison, for the jails run by the UN. And in exchange, the UN mission would transport and did transport the book we sent, who had to go outside of Port-au-Prince, in all towns of Haiti. And also, we developed cooperation with the university, with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. We created the first library for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which didn't exist. And so we ended up for the business school, who just opened 1 year ago. And then the earthquake happened. In the days following the earthquake, first of all, we had to face the death of, the UN mission has about more than 100 people. The whole building of the UN mission collapsed, and the more than 100 international civil servants of the highest quality who were serving the people of Haiti there were killed. So the guy, Franco-Guinean Mamadou Ba, who organized all the cooperation with us, died in this terrible earthquake. Of course, with all this 250,000, even more, Haitian who died also. But in the days following the earthquake, we were contacted, first of all, by the head of the private collection who has spent his whole life collecting books on the slavery period, on the revolutionary period, and these books are in the convent of Père Saint-Esprit. He had flew to Canada. He wanted help to save his collection because the roof has been destroyed, the stairs has been destroyed, and the rain could come and kill all these manuscripts of the 18th or 19th century. Then the head of National Library contacted us and said, come. And so we decided to send immediately a team of 4 experts, the director of my organization, but especially an architect, and the head of another NGO called Patrimoine Sans Frontières. I don't know how to translate. The people specialized in cultural in heritage, exactly. And so they went through San Domingo with 200 kilos of material, which permitted to save the most precious document. I will show you, that's the report of their mission. It is in French. You can get it on the internet, but there are some photos. So that's, I will show you. So that's the archives of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. For, as you know, imagine the State Department archive. The State Department, for every country, it's the archive of the state. It's the memory, it's the history of the state. If the State Department archives are destroyed, you don't have the memory of the treaties, you don't have any recognition anymore in terms of formal recognition. So that was saved by the deputy mayor of Port-au-Prince, who blocked the people who were trying to find human beings who might have been under the stones of the building. And here, what it has, what they... So here is... let me... So here is the collection, this private collection I told you about. They are in boxes, this old manuscript, etc. They are in these kind of boxes. It's the third floor of this building, but you have no more stairs. So here is this building. That's another collection, another building, but the building is okay. That's a National Library. So you can see the shelf here. So the shelves have been, and here they are starting to put the books in the boxes before they have to find new shelves, get new shelves, and they can reinstall. But the building itself is almost okay, as you can see. Ministry of Foreign Affairs. National Archives is okay. Okay, so that's the École Normale Supérieure. The building has collapsed on the students and professors. Okay. So this is not in Port-au-Prince, it is in Jacmel, and this local library has survived. But the city hall has collapsed, so the mayor has transferred his office in the library. So here you can see destroyed library, the books have been put under this bash. Okay. That's the Alliance Française Jacmel. Well, not so bad. Here is a building of the History Department, and here it is. And here another building of university. That's a private library in Jacmel. Okay. So, the situation is the following. In Port-au-Prince, 11 and 12 university libraries have been destroyed. The library of the French Institute, which was very important, has been destroyed. The library of the business school has been, the business school itself, who was just inaugurated last year, destroyed. So after this mission where we were able to save the old manuscript, the old books, the rare books, in this private collection. We started working with the director of the National Library, with the Minister of Culture, with the local authorities. What should be now the next step? It is very important not to make any mistake. For example, sending books today, it's ridiculous. First of all, you don't have where they can get, which port could they be debarked, where could they go, have you seen the shelves, etc. So we have to have a strategy. And so we built a strategy in three parts, and it is what I want now to present to you before we can open the discussion. The three programs we are setting and for which we are now collecting funds. First program is to help the National Library.
It's been recorded,
okay. To help the National Library to reopen. Because there will not be a new university library before 2 or 3 years. If one wants the student to be able to study next fall or the next month, and the population of also high school to start being able to enter a library, we have to rely on the National Library and to reinforce its collection, because they will welcome much more people than they used to welcome before the earthquake. So the first program will be to work with this library and with their subsidiary in other cities of Haiti, because many Port-au-Prince inhabitants have fled outside Port-au-Prince and now are trying to access libraries outside Port-au-Prince. We have to help them to face the new public. And so that will be the first program, furnishing them shelves, furnishing them books, the books they need, the books they want. And we are working with the directrice of the library daily to make her succeed in reopening her library very soon. The second program is related to the fact that now you have many inhabitants of Haiti who are living in refugee camps. And the government wants to reopen schools there, to open school. So countries like France, Canada, the US will send volunteers to teach, but you need books to teach. So we would like to provide these books and to provide them in a way that it is efficient. So we, after having discussed with the people there, the idea is to have mobile libraries that can circulate between the camps with buses probably bought or donated from Mexico, who will be full of books adapted to the situation and that will be borrowed as to be able to be used in class in the camps. The third project we are working on is about the creation of a big university library in Port-au-Prince. Instead of rebuilding 11 different libraries, for each department they had a library, now they are willing to have one big library. So how to do that? And how to do it in a way that students could start working next fall? So we have built a strategy in 2 points. First of all, there will be a building with dozen, if not hundred, of computers provided by us, collected by us, with access to journals, with access to computerized books, etc., that could be used by students immediately next fall. But it means an electrical generator, guards to keep
safe, the material, etc. So that has to be built in the next months. In parallel, we will start, in Haiti they will start building a library, but we will start creating it in terms of librarian work. So we will select some librarians who are already
employed by the university. They will be sent for training either in France or in Canada, and in Paris, with the donation of the École Normale Supérieure and of the National Library of France, we will start an inside University of Haiti library in Paris, so they can start classifying the books, creating the library in Paris. In parallel, the building will be created in Port-au-Prince, and when the building will be set, it will take only few weeks to transfer the books and to send back the librarians who will be ready to work for the students and the professor there. Because if we wait for the building to be built, to start training the librarian, etc., it will take 10 years. By doing it in parallel, we can save, I think, many, many months. There is, of course, a last thing to do, but in that we are not specialists, so we will rely, I think, on American and Canadian organizations. It's just to make safe, to computerize, to digitalize the old collection, the rare books, the old manuscript, etc., etc. So on that we are working, and we are ready to work with American and Canadian organizations. I must say that you can see that these three programs implies different kind of resources. Probably in 2 or 3 months, or even in 2 months, we will need books for teaching in the camps, or books for the National Library, mainly in French or in Creole. When we will need books for the university library, we will need them also in English. But that will not be before a few months and even years. On the digitalization, of course, I think it can start in the next months. But we are ready to work with you, each of you. I think if you are ready to work with us, we would love to have a sort of antenna in corner, that can follow what we are doing week after week, and help us, depending on the needs we will have, and we will keep you informed of as much as the program is implemented. Thank you very much for organizing this presentation.
I wanted to say something because I was contacted by Jerry Dupont, who is the head of the Law Library Microforms Consortium. So they used to put a lot of materials in microform from print, and now they're digitizing materials. And he, thinking about the problem with Haiti and the lack of resources, it came upon him that he could work on a project with libraries to digitize a legal collection for Haiti. And he was calling me to ask if Cornell wanted to be associated with it, because he says the major collection is that he's working with is the Columbia Law Library collection with my equivalent, Ken McKeever. But he says that from time to time, other law libraries may have materials that Columbia doesn't have. He's also working with the Law Library of Congress, with Roberta Schaefer. So I said, of course, we would be happy to collaborate if we have some things that the other libraries don't have. And I remember that Jean Pajarek had told me that we have maybe not a large collection of Haiti legal materials, but we have a small collection, right? So at least we can contribute in that way. And maybe what American, Canadian law librarians can contribute more is what you expressed, digitized materials, legal or literary.
Yes, and that could literary. be provided to this, to the computerized library that we will start quite soon in the summer. That's the idea, that can permit students to start working with them with these computers next fall. But that would be great. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I know that our university, Cornell University Library, has a special role in digital preservation, special role also in collecting, preserving materials which in the particular country were destroyed. You know, I don't know, remember, was it Cambodia? Was it,
I don't know now how much we will need, for example, you in that perspective. But of course, we are in permanent contact with Patrick Tardieu, who is, for example, owning this or running this private collection of the highest value. But let me ask you a question. If in 1 month I call you, I'll email you and say, well, I think we will need you, would you be able to fund a trip to Haiti and to fund the material to do the digitalization during the time it takes to do it? That's a question. Or can you find the fund to do it?
Well, I cannot speak for the university library. You have to know that we're in the middle of a big, huge budget crisis. So
I can imagine, yeah.
But, you know, we can certainly probably try to
I don't know how much it costs. I mean, I have no idea.
Maybe Anne would be willing to try to see if we can find some grant money, you know.
Well, one of the things that had occurred to me, Barbara, you might know whether NEH, which has done emergency preservation funds in the past, do they still have that, which is a fairly quick turnaround?
Right. Well, there was the funding for Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah.
That might be that. We can find
that. Because they had done this in the past for other libraries, but we'll find out about that. I don't know whether you've had any contact with any. The National Endowment for the Humanities has done emergency.
We are in a contact with, I think there is somebody at Brown University who is now working on the digitalization. But you know, they are talking about doing it, but we want it to be done. Okay, so we have proven that
French is French, you can tell.
No, you think the French are not talking?
Janet?
Oh, that would be great also. That would be great. Yeah, that might be very helpful because the need will be huge. But we need also, you know, general electrician. You know, if you also, that would be Well, we will see, we don't want to take that responsibility, but of course some students would like to be volunteer. You need skills of, even for libraries, you need electricity skills, computer science skills, because you have to set all that. So you have many skills that are needed for launching this university temporary site that can be used by the student next fall.
So, Claire, Barbara just reminded me, I don't know whether on your schedule there is time for you to connect with Alice Pell, who is our vice provost for international relations, and they have had an emphasis in Haiti in some other areas, but she may be a really good contact if you have time to schedule.
Yeah, we're going to try to see. That's a great idea, yes. She's our vice provost for international affairs.
Okay.
Any other specific ideas on how we might be able to help?
Well, you can also give money. That helps.
There are all kinds of materials in the back of the room.
Yes, you can take
once
the information sheet.
All kinds of information.
And of course, I think it's it's a good idea to keep permanent, you know, contact, because, for example, it is what we have done with them in the last year. For example, they said, we need books for the for the part of the university with training nurses. So we contacted all the program in France, training nurses, and they provide us books that were, instead of, you know, sending anything, it's what I told you. The books on medicine were from the 50s. So they are dangerous.
Also, the National Library of Medicine has, PubMed Central.
So you have...
What would be helpful is to say, this is the schedule of what we are hoping to do. These are the skill sets, resources that we need. And, the Association of Research Libraries is one of 123 North American research libraries, and being able to get the word out broadly in terms
we
of
will do
the
that.
Call to arms. We need this kind of subject content.
We
happy
will do
to
that.
In terms of doing that. But I think the more specific
details, schedule, yeah.
The schedule and the needs are. So, for instance, I'm thinking, is it preservation expertise that would be helpful during these months, or would it be a carpenter, or is it general books for undergraduate education in these areas? The more specific, I think, the better the responsiveness can be.
But what I'm sure is what Claire was saying, that anything you have on legal, you know, the history of Haiti, law of Haiti, anything related to Haiti, that would be perceived very well. I mean, anything you can do already on your Haitian fund, and then it can be, you know, put on a computer or something, that would be, you know, they are, the Haitian are so willing to preserve their history and their culture, they have to be proud of course, that anything we can do on that will be probably very welcome.
Mm-hmm. Barbara?
Yeah. So I know through IFLA, the preservation section, they sent out a call for something called Blue Shield.
Exactly.
For conservators.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, what they do is that they did exactly what you said, the archives. They are working on, we are not dealing, I didn't mention, I show you the archive, we are not working on that. It's too huge for us. It's not what we are sharing the work. So they are doing the archives. Okay?
Stuart?
Have you contacted publishers for their overstock? Because the negotiation argument you can make is that they have no hope of selling a certain percentage of their current materials. Sending it to Haiti puts it in a place where there's not going to be a diminishing of their market share. And they makes them look very good in terms of social responsibility. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Well, we've done that. We work with publishers. We work with bookshops. Why? Because it is their interest, for example, to collect books among their customers. Because if the customers can get rid of surplus of books they have, then they can buy other books. You know, sometimes when you are at home and your spouse say, I'm fed up with all the books you still buy, I don't want you to buy any more books. So the day you can say, I'm giving this book for a good cause, then I can buy more. So it's the interest, it is the interest of publishers and booksellers to help donating books.
I was thinking more specifically about textbooks.
Yes, but we are working on that, but we have to be very careful. Because, for example, if we send textbook about history, you cannot send all textbooks. Geography, it's the same. So we have to be very careful in what kind of textbook we send. Sometimes in the past, some NGO have sent books which are absolutely not being able to be related to the history. So for example, we can send books in math or in French for learning the language, or in English for learning the English as a foreign language, etc. But we have to be very careful in the selection of the books. And for example, we are working with a publisher which is an Haitian publisher based in Florida, because he's publishing books that are really well set for Haitian. And so it's a difficult task to be really willing to fulfill the particular needs of a particular people. You just cannot say, let's send all the textbook. Sometimes it is what is done, and we don't want to do that. We have to be very selective. When I was there last year, and I speak under the control of some Haitians who are in the room, what I was told, because I had, I was like a Westerner, I said, when I saw this old book collection, under a heat, I thought the documents would be destroyed, but they've been alive since 2 centuries. So I say, what about air condition? And I say, Are you crazy? We have electricity only 3 hours per day. It will destroy the documents if we change the temperature permanently. So we have to be very careful. What we are working on, also with an American organization, is to provide lights that can be fulfilled by solar during the day, and then so that kids and students can have light during the night. That is much more important, I think, and efficient in short term, than thinking perhaps France, the US, Canada in the future will bring electricity permanently in Port-au-Prince. But for the moment, in the next 4 or 5 years, it will not happen. Well, it's only for the rare books, for the rare collection, because it has to be, it's part of the world heritage. Haiti is part of the world history. It's the first black free republic. They have defeated Napoleon troops. They have been under embargo of the US and France for the whole 19th century. They have survived that. It's part of a world history, and their history has to be preserved. And I think it's why we should have that priority and not risk a next earthquake, natural catastrophe to destroy these documents. So it's why, it's not a big, I've been visiting that. I think in terms, I think 3-4 months of work by Western organization will be enough to do the job. I mean, there are. I have seen the documents that has to be preserved. There are proclamation of the revolution, things about slavery, etc. So that can be done, but it has to be done because it's really the way of keeping for the future to be sure that this part of our world history will not be destroyed. So I'm not speaking about digitalizing the National Library Fund. No, that I will never propose because it's not a very good fund, frankly.
One of the things I think about is that in response to your response, is the leading research libraries in North America with strong Haiti collections. They have a strong interest in that aspect of the work if they also were able to get digital copies for their own collections as part of the quid pro quo.
I agree.
And so, you know, as you think about specifying the need in digitization for this material, it is something that a broadcast to the ARL libraries that I think, you know, might be the best way to go. It certainly serves as a conduit.
And Patrick met with Anne Åkerson, I think, before the earthquake, when he was at Yale. But I don't know if she does things in art area.
Yeah, I don't think they have a particular.
No, I don't think so.
Collection. Well, maybe in Florida, Texas, there's a couple of other places. Florida,
well, yeah, Florida, and I know a professor who is a friend, Laurent Dubois, who has written about Haitian Revolution, who is at Duke. Okay.
The collections that they had at Duke on Haiti do not compare with what we have here.
Was that on Haiti?
Yeah, because of our French Revolution collections, which they compare what happened in Haiti to some of their children and all that. So I think one of the US institutions where you can find large resources about the history of Haiti.
Well, but it's an issue of a collection development emphasis. Database
have access to this material while you're waiting for the universities or their programs to read them, and we hope they can teach them to that. How can libraries or others help in that regard?
So, by random, we have an agreement with a Dutch publisher, very famous in law and medicine, Kluwer.
Yeah.
So we were already providing the most recent book in medicine and law in French. So we will work with this. We have a You were asking me about publishers. I mean, there is one publisher with whom we have an agreement, the best we could. I mean, every year they are changing renewing their collection, or the books they publish in different fields, and so the book of the previous year they give us. Okay? So it is by random that they do medicine and law. So we are ready to work with them on that. I don't know if it's possible. The best would be that we can send, instead of sending books, because we cannot send books for the moment, to send USB keys and have the books on the computer. But we are working with them on that. I think we can do something, because they are really helpful. They really want to help. And I think that would be the best, because they are really training students in France and doctors and publishing the best quality books in medicine, in French, and in other language, of course. But it's, yes.
Yes, you talked about sending, the project of sending patients to study library science in France and I don't know physical books as well. When would that start?
In the fall.
In the fall. And how long is the training?
2 years. There will be a part-time study and part-time working on the InSight library in Paris.
Okay, so these people, they would be people librarians or something?
They're librarians.
They're already librarians.
Yes. They will be selected by the librarian there, by the university librarian, to work with him in the future. So they will select the people they want. They will be sent to France, trained. We are working on that, you know. We have to get a 1,000 square meters building, shelves, etc. We have to get the book. It's a very, very intensive and big program.
Jenna.
Student association in France, I don't know about the US, that the government, the French government, would provide scholarship, and I don't think it has been so much done, but I think it's, of course, it's an issue.
The step of FODA has done it for secondary school students, and a few students have come to New York as well.
Okay, but the problem is that for the moment, parents are afraid to send their kids to school because they don't know what will be the future of earthquakes, and they don't want their kids, because what happened is that the earthquake happened in the end of the afternoon, and paradoxically, probably if it has happened during the night, you would have had less death. Because houses were less dangerous than collective buildings where people were working, or the university, or schools, etc. So now, only 10% in schools that have remained stable, and in towns that have not been directly touched by the earthquake, schools have officially reopened,
but only 10% of students have resumed courses because parents don't want them to be trapped in another country. So it will be a long time until confidence will come back. People are not confident in the quality of the buildings, and they might be right. And so you have here another issue, that it's not because we will provide the material that the people will come back to the classroom.
I have a question. Have you done that before, like having a library under tents? I know some high schools, they're planning to reopen next month in Portugal and San Gonzalez. I know they're tearing down all the buildings to make sure that they won't use them again, even though they're still standing, but they're not safe to be reused. And they're planning to use the playing fields and all the space they get. And meanwhile, I know they will need to have spaces for students from all over these places, this community, to study and to have access to books. Do you have any like tents or the temporary?
It is what we are doing. I mean, when I'm speaking about this place where we will have the computers,
yeah,
we are negotiating with the municipality of Porto Paz to get the ground where you can create this space for the student living in Porto Paz.
Temporary,
exactly. Exactly that. But what you see is that it's a step-by-step, very pragmatical program. We have to adapt to the evolution of the situation. And also, you know, every week or every day we have an email saying, oh, this project is not only for University of Haiti, but for all universities. It's also local negotiation. And if you are Haitian, you know how it works. You have different forces there and different interests, etc. So everything has to be worked with local people there and not decided by us. Yes.
Are you providing inexpensive, like even photocopies of educational materials, particularly for primary school students, that would be something that could even be printed on site or could be sent very cheaply rather than having to?
I think it's a good idea that if we need printed documents, instead of sending them from Paris, which is a longer distance, we can do it from the US. From Florida, of course. Maybe that's something I will note, and that we could have a sort of platform in Florida or something. You know, my idea that was we could originally I have even the idea to bring the material, the most precious documents to North America or to Guadeloupe. So I think the nearest bases for action is Guadeloupe and Florida, in terms of, you know, easy access. And we have connection in both territory, but we have to work on that. It will be a very long term. We will work years on this. I think we have to be ready to work years in Haiti, in all fields. We are only tackling one particular field. I think it's, for you it's good, and for us it's good to focus on one thing, but of course it's only part of the whole reconstruction that has to occur in so many, many directions.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming, and thank you for...
Thank you very much.